Tithe and offering. Who needs an envelope? I'm not even ready. It's like, wow. All right. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Okay, this message is only going to half make sense. Because it ties into the main message. So you're not going to get the full impact until we go through the main message. So Philippians 4:9, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He shall supply all of his needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He will supply. Now, if you read that section, I thought this was kind of interesting because I went to that verse and then I read up the previous verses and I realized last time I had given a tithe message, I talked about that. And that was about partnering with Paul. Paul partnered with the Philippians, or I should say the Philippians partnered with Paul in his ministry. He says, nobody gave except for you. And he said, I desire, not that I desire the money, I don't desire the stuff, but I desire that which would abound to your account, the blessings that would abound to your account. And it's like he's talking about there's a sharing of providing. When you provide for ministries and ministers, that you're sharing in their ministry, that you're sharing in what they're doing for the gospel. It goes towards your account in heaven. And he says, that's what he was desirous of. But then he finishes it up by saying, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He said, God will supply for you. Because you've given, because you've wanted to be part of what I'm doing, God's going to make sure that you're taken care of according to his riches in glory. So God wants to, you know, make sure that you're taken care of. And the real important part, the part that ties into the message is his glory. His glory. He gets glorified. He wants to make sure you're taken care of because he gets glorified. There you go. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you've provided for us in so many ways. So many ways that we're not even aware of. We just thank you, Lord, that you've continued to supply, that you continue to cause the earth to produce fruit. Thank you, Lord, that it's never going to stop. We honor you, we glorify you, we thank you that you provide for us in the riches in Christ's glory. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day that we have to gather together, that we have the freedom and liberty to gather together here in your presence. Lord, we just acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We acknowledge that you are the God who created everything and that you have a purpose and a plan for life. That we don't know enough to understand the completeness of everything, but we trust that you can lead us and guide us faithfully through this life so that we can be victorious and we can overcome and that we can give glory and honor to you in all the days of our life. We just love you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what's been on my heart is I've been debating whether or not to present this as it happened or just to teach on it. So, I think I'm just going to... I'll tell you the story. The number of years ago, God started talking to me about... God started talking to me about operating in the prophetic ministry, about operating out of a prophetic gifting. And so, you know, as anyone does when they're like, okay, God, let's do this thing. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. We're going to rock the world. Yes, yes. It's true. I did think like that. So I would get together this, I don't know, I think it's maybe about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and was meeting with Pastor John and Vern and Pastor Tom. We were praying, and I'm like, okay, God, we're gonna have words coming forth. We're gonna. It's like, what are you saying? And it's just like I'm striving. And it's just like, God, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to figure out. Okay, what's me? What's God? What's going on? And it's just like, I'm like, it's just exhausting. Just exhausting. Well, then Pastor John had asked me the next day if I wanted to go to a prayer meeting with him for some of the Rhema ministers were having a meeting, and he wanted to know if I wanted to go with them, and I said, sure, why not, you know. Gives me an opportunity to spend time with Pastor John and to be with other ministers and meet a few of the ministers he knows. And so I went and I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not saying anything. I'm going to this thing. I'm going to be part of it. And I'm not going to say a thing. I'm not going to try to, okay, God, saying something. What is he saying? I just said, forget it. I'm not going to worry about it. So I went and we're sitting there praying and I had... I was sitting in the back, and I was kind of laying across some seats, just kind of praying and listening, and all of a sudden God started talking to me. The people were getting up and they're praying about the glory of God, seeing the glory of God in churches. Now, how many of you have seen the glory of God in churches? I've seen it. You know, how many have sensed the glory of God, or what you would perceive as the glory of God? Probably most of us have, even if we haven't necessarily known what it was. We've probably sensed it. You know, and I'm listening to him talk about the glory of God and the glory of God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Ichabod. I'm like, ugh. For you, those of you that don't know, that is a scriptural reference from 1 Samuel 4:21. And here's that verse. It says, then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and her husband had died. Or they had been captured. No, they were dead. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed. That's the reference. And I'm thinking, oh great, lovely. This is what you give me. I don't even want to speak. I am not here to say anything, Lord. I'm not going to do it. I mean, that was only kind of a half-hearted, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, I'm not going to just give that. If you want me to give something, I need more than that. I mean, I wasn't really being rebellious. I was just like... I don't know any of these ministers except for Pastor John. And they're all, you know, older ministers who've been pastoring for here. Here I'm a punk who's been pastoring for 3 years, 4 years. Well, probably 3 years at that point. And this is like, who am I? Yeah. I'm like, okay. And then he started revealing some things. He started talking about some things about the glory of God. And so then I got up and given it. And it's interesting, I was never invited back. But there's some interesting things. What is the glory of God? What is glory? Ever thought about that? What does it mean? What is it? What's glory? Well, it's glory. How do you describe glory? Well, it's this glory. That's usually how we describe it. You know, it's this thing, this presence. Glory. So let's go through some definitions. Let's talk about this. Glory in the glory in Hebrew is COVID. Kavod. Yeah, kavod, which is pretty darn close, isn't it? Wow, that's funny. Glory. Glory, honor, glorious abundance. Abundance and riches. Honor, splendor, glory. These are ways that it's defined. Honor, dignity. Honor, reputation. Honor, reverence, glory. Glory. Honor, glory, reverence, splendor, dignity. Another way that somebody has defined it in the Hebrew is importance, weightiness, heaviness. That's a good way to describe it. For when you come into the presence of God, when you're in His glory, there is a weightiness. There is a heaviness. It's like if you've ever gone into a place of power, a place of governmental authority, there is a heaviness. There is a weightiness to it. Ever gone into a courtroom? Especially if you've been there because you have to be there. There is a weightiness to it. There is a glory to that responsibility. Respect, honor. The English language defines glory as praise, honor, a distinction extended by common consent, worship, praise, honor, and thanksgiving. Something that secures praises or renown. Distinguishing quality distinguishes quality. The glory of a city is its Gothic cathedrals. I think that's a good way to start this discussion of what we're talking. The glory of the city is its Gothic cathedrals. The scripture says that a glory of a woman is her long hair. It says, the scripture also says, that the glory of the young man is his strength. And I began to, you know, God began to talk to me about how glory is the distinguishing features, those things that stand out. You know, these athletes, they have... Hold on. I'm losing it. These athletes that compete on the national stage, their prowess in their sport, their prowess in their ability to compete is their glory. They are glorified because of their ability to do it. Actors, actresses are gloried in their beauty or their ability to articulate or to capture one's attention, depending on what their particular ability is. You know, we all have, you could say, a form of glory. But what is it that distinguishes us? Because sometimes it can be infamy, not necessarily glory. But it's the same kind of thing. It's that thing that distinguishes their glory. Hitler's glory was in his brutality. It's not a good thing. What is God's glory? What is God's glory? We talk about His glory. And this is what God was talking to me about. It says, the glory of God has departed from the church. Because they were talking about, you know, the glory of God and being back in the churches, and we just need to see more of the glory of God. And this is like, the Lord was using me in the gift and answering their question. Now, whether they received it or not, I don't know. But they're wanting the glory of God back. And it's Ichabod, the glory of God has departed. You've been in churches where there doesn't seem to be a presence of God at all. There's nothing there. Why? The glory of God has departed. Why? The glory of God is that which distinguishes an individual for who they are. What identifies them? If the glory of God has departed from a church, I'd have to say it's because God isn't getting honor there. His character is not being shown forth. He's not receiving praises. People aren't living it out. They're not living it out. If you've got a church that's full of strife and contention, well, we know that strife and contention, where there's strife and contention, there's every evil work. And if there's every evil work in a church, how can the glory of God be manifested? Because it's not God that's being honored. It's not God who's going for, it's not God who is the center of their praise and adoration. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on what they want, not on what He wants. So, how do we get the glory of God? It's actually really easy. We honor Him for who He is. But the application could be quite different. It might not be easy. And what does that mean? Love your enemy. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You know, help those that have wronged you. Forgive your brother. Well, how many times do I got to forgive him? How many times do I got to put up with him doing the same thing over and over again? 7 times? 7 times 70, says the Lord. That's 140 times in one day. Nobody's going to ask you 140 times in one day to forgive you. They're not going to have time to sin that many times against you. It's just not. I should break that down and see how many minutes that would be. How often they would have to sin. But we do, we bring the glory of God to a church by doing His Word. By doing what He said. By being what He's called us to be. You know that there's a saying, and there's a truth to this. It says God won't share His glory with anyone. There is a truth in that, in the sense of, you know what? This is like, don't dare take God's glory from Him to yourself. But the reality is God does give His glory. Ugh. Now I'm going to have to get the scripture. Let me see if I can find it. John 17:22. And it says this. Jesus speaking to the Father. And the glory which You gave Me, the glory which You gave Me, the glory which You gave Me, I give them. That they may be one just as we are one. It's John 17, verse 22. The Gospel of John. Chapter 17, verse 22. The glory which You gave to Me, Father, I give to them. Do you realize God has given His glory? Jesus has given His glory to you. God's glory He's given to you. To say that God doesn't share His glory, I think is a bit disingenuous. God shares His glory. He's not afraid of who He is. But He will not allow somebody to usurp His authority and to pretend to be God. He will not tolerate that. But when we know who we are in Christ, it says that He gives grace to the humble. It also says He resists the proud. If we become prideful and arrogant, then God resists us. He resists us. But we want God to move, but we're being proud and arrogant, thinking we deserve it. But we want God to move. You know what? All you got to do is take one step down to your knees and humble yourself before God. That's all it takes. And then God will move. Because He gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Jesus said, when speaking to the people watching them assemble and sit at the table, watching how they position themselves in places of honor, He says, take the lesser place. Don't presume yourself better than anyone else. Take the lesser place, that you may be, have honor among others when you get pulled up. And of course, He's speaking in the kingdom. He's speaking about godly things. He's saying, you know what? Don't presume that you're that all that. Let God handle it. Let God handle it. mean, this changes the dynamic of the way that we think. Why? Because it's a difference between the world system and kingdom system. The world says, exalt yourself, glorify yourself, make sure everybody knows how good and how awesome you are. God says, don't worry about glorifying yourself. Honor God. Do it before God. Humble yourself before God and let Him exalt you. You know what? When God exalts you, nobody can take that away because God's done it. And we want to see God's glory in the church, but are we willing to do what it means? You know that you're a temple of the Lord? You'll have to give me a minute. My scriptures are all out of order. I kind of threw them together because I wasn't sure in which order I was going to use them. Okay, 2 Chronicles, Old Testament time. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Verse 13 and 14. They've made the temple and they're consecrating it. Indeed, it came to pass. This is verse 13. So, 2 Chronicles 5, 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praise and thanks, thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of the music, praising the Lord, saying, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I think it's interesting. They're dedicating the temple. This is Solomon's temple. Solomon built the temple. It was magnificent. It was glorious. The amount of money, it talks about the amount of money that was spent, the gold, the silver. How much was lavished on building this temple? And then they sacrificed. They brought the Ark of the Covenant and set it in the temple. And it says that they sang. And I think it's fascinating that it says, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were all as one. Were all as one. To make one sound, to be heard in praise and thanksgiving to God, that they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments. And they said, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. They were all in one accord. It's interesting. You know, I've done a lot of teaching on Ephesians 4. The ministry gifts for God ascended on high. He gave gifts unto men. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so that they would become one. They would all be in unity. That they would all become one. You know, it's another interesting thing. Did you know that you're the temple of God? It says in a few different places. Ephesians 2, 19 and 22. 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, whom the whole building being lifted and fitted together, grown unto a holy temple on the Lord, in whom also are being built together for a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. A dwelling place. Wasn't that what they built in the Old Testament? A dwelling place? Lord, you have no place to dwell. David's desire was, God, you dwell in tents. I live in a palace. You dwell in tents. I need to build you a palace. I need to build you a place to dwell. God said, no, you can't. You're a bloody man. But your son will. Actually, I believe the wordology is one that comes from your own loins will build me a temple. I know. It's interesting. God wasn't speaking of Solomon. He was speaking of Jesus. And he's talking about the true temple, a true dwelling place for a God, which is you. And it's built, God's trying to build this thing. He's trying to build a temple. The stones keep walking off. You know, and when you're trying to build something and you got a stone that all of a sudden goes missing, especially if it's one down towards the bottom, everything above them is now in danger. God's trying to build something. We need to allow God to put us where we belong, to put us in our... God needs to put you in your place. He needs to put you in your place. And you need to stay there. What does that mean? Where's God asking you to be? Where do you belong? Who are you? What are you? Now, what do you think about yourself? What does God say about you? I can guarantee you what God says about you is greater than what you think about yourself. I mean, there's times when I've asked God, God, how do you see me? And He's told me, and I said, I'm like, I don't see that, God. I don't. I mean, and I'm humble. I'm like, you see me like that. He's like, yeah. I'm like, God, you see more than I do. Because I don't see it. And I have something to strive for, to begin to see myself as Christ sees me. To see myself as God sees me. Not as I see myself, but as God does. We all need to work on that. We all need to choose to not listen to what ourself says about ourselves, but what does God say about ourselves? Because God is building us into something. That you have a place where you belong in the temple of God, and you need to fit. You need to fit where God's put you. Okay, I wanna go through something because I thought this was really cool. I gotta find the right scripture to start with. Oh yeah, it's at the top of my page. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 4:21. No, that's not the one I want. That's the Ichabod one. Come on, where is it? Exodus. Here we go. Exodus 33. I'm going to start in verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, he said, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. What is he asking? He wants to see God as he is. He wants to see the fullness of who he is. He says, God, I want to see you. I want to know you as you are. I want to know you. I see you in your totality. Your glory. The essence of who you are. Then he said, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face. No man shall see me and live. No man shall see me and live. He has to see his glory. And God says, you can't see my face. Interesting. So he's equating his face with his glory. His face, who he is. What he is. The reality of who he is. You can't see. We can't comprehend God as he is. Verse 21, and the Lord said, here is a place by me. and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be that while my glory passes by, that I will put you into the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Here's God, and he's saying, you can't see my face. You can't know me as I am. You can't look upon me and see me for who I am. You can't. It's too much. It'll kill you. I'm glorious. I'm magnificent. I am awesome. And you, in your humanity, cannot withstand the glory of who I am. I can't show you my face. But, stand on this rock. Stand on this rock. Stand on this rock. We know that Jesus said that he who builds his house upon the rock is stable. Who is one who builds his house upon the rock? One who hears the word and does it. Hears the word and does it. If you stand upon the rock, you hear the word and you do it. God's saying, stand upon this rock. Stand upon this rock here. And I will put my hand over you. I will extend myself and cover you and protect you. That as my glory, my magnificence passes by, my judgment doesn't fall on you. Once my judgment has passed by, once the essence of who I am and all that I am has passed by, I will remove my hand and you shall see me hereafter. You shall see my backside. You shall see me who I am after that. God is painting a picture of Christ Jesus right here before our very eyes. When all Moses wants to do is see who God is. And he says, you can't see me. You can't see me that way. We can't see God as he is. We can't see him and understand him and comprehend him without Christ. We can't. It's too much for us. It's too magnificent. It's too wonderful. It's too awesome. It would destroy us. So God had to cover us, and he had to pass by, and now we can see him. We can see him who he is in Christ Jesus. We can see him expressed in Christ. We can see him in the fullness. We can look upon him and not die. Isn't that awesome? That is so good. It's amazing how many pictures of Christ you find in the Old Testament when God begins to speak. He's usually speaking of what he's going to do in Christ Jesus. And how he cares for his people. How he loves his people. And how much he wants us to see him. But we have to see him after. After he's passed by. He passed by this world in Christ. Now we can see him. And now he's building a temple. We're that temple. If we want the glory of God to be revealed in this house, then we need to strive for unity by the Spirit of God. Strive for unity in the Spirit of God. To walk in his precepts and his commands, not our desire, but what he has asked us to do. And he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. He's speaking to the family. He's speaking to the family when he says this. He's not speaking to the world. That commandment is for us as family. That we should love one another as Christ loved us. This doesn't apply to the world. This applies to one another. And what does he say? He says, that I gave myself, that I gave of myself for you. What does that mean? Sometimes we do the hard time. Sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we inconvenience ourselves for the sake of others. Not because it's convenient for us, not because it's fun for us, but because we love the brethren, because we love one another, because it's what's right. How do we do that? Follow the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Bible tell us to do? Now, what do we think? But what does it say? That we do it. We let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. We may not necessarily understand everything, but we let Him lead us and guide us. And He's faithful. He's faithful. Absolutely, without a doubt, 100%, all the time, faithful. Yeah, sometimes it may not seem like it, but He always is. Sometimes we're not listening. Often we're not listening. Oftentimes I find myself, well, I missed that one. You said it, you told me back then, but I wasn't listening. It's usually always our own fault that we get ourselves into trouble. But the glory of God, if we want the glory of God in the house of God, then we need to exalt God as who He is. Who is He? He said that, Jesus said that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We look at Jesus. We look at Jesus. Jesus spoke the truth. He spoke love. He spoke kindness. But He spoke truth. He didn't compromise the truth for anyone. We don't need to compromise the truth. Sometimes it's inconvenient. And we can say it in such a way that it's kind and loving. You know, even when you got to tell somebody, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Because that's not helpful to you. I'm not going to give you money because you're just going to take that money and spend it on drugs and alcohol. I'll go get you groceries. Well, I don't want groceries, I want money. Well, you can't have money. These are hard decisions that sometimes need to be made, but that's love. Because you're concerned about their well-being. Because you know that the behavior is destructive. God desires to glorify His name. Philippians 4:19. Back to the tithe message. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. His glory. Who He is. He provides His riches because of who He is. Because He's faithful. Because He's good. Because He's a provider. Because He cares for His children. You know what? When His children you wonder why God rebukes His children? Because children are a reflection of their parents. When your children misbehave, it reflects upon you and your ability to raise them. And that's tough when they want to do their own thing and they're not listening to you. But they are still, throughout their life, they're always a reflection on you. And the same thing is in the family. How many times I've heard, well, I went to church and some people treated me this way. I mean, if that's how God is, then I don't want to have anything to do with them. Well, what are you going to do? We got a brother and sister who's misbehaving. We have to do the Word. We have to do what's right. God can seal the breach. He can take care of the offense. But sometimes those people need to see somebody who's actually going to do it. The Word. Who's actually going to live it out. Because they don't think it's possible. Let God deal with the disobedient children. He's really good at it. He's really good at it. He is. It says a wise man receives a rebuke. And we need to be willing to receive those rebukes to allow God to move us forward. To not be so prideful and arrogant to think we understand, know everything. We're just trying to follow the Holy Spirit as best we can. And if we just follow and do the Word, if we walk in love, above all things, if we walk in love, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. God can honor that. He can work with that. So let's let the glory of God be revealed in this house by beginning to be who God's called us to be. The seed of God is within you. The love of God has already been poured out inside of you. We just need to let it grow. We just need to let it grow. So, you know, on Sundays you're going to come and you're going to get watered on. We're going to pour out more word on you and let you be watered, and you're going to grow, and we're going to tend the soil, pull out the rocks, put manure on it, help it to grow so that you can become a beautiful tree in the house of God whose leaves are for the healing of nations. Whose fruit bears every month, and who people find shelter under. I mean, that's an awesome thing right there. I thank you, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. I thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for this church, for these people, that you desire that they should grow in you. That you can show your glory through them. That they can be the temple filled with your presence. Filled with your presence, your glory shining forth as they just follow your word. That you give them glory. Just thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you lead us and guide us. And that you have a desire for each and every one of us. We love you and we honor you and we exalt you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys have a great week. I'll see you next Sunday.